Hello and welcome to World Business Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rahul Tandon. Thanks so much for joining us. Inflation is a key theme of our programme, as is the dollar. How do economies like Zimbabwe and Argentina tackle rising prices? Can they learn from Ecuador?
Even though it was painful after seeing examples like Argentina and Venezuela in the region, and due to the distrust in the political class, most of the Ecuadorian population still defends the use of the dollar.
You heard Argentina mentioned there. Well, as I speak, lawmakers there are voting on individual bits of huge economic reforms. They've largely given the thumbs up in an effort to tackle those inflation issues. A little bit more on that coming up very soon. But we are going to start our programme by looking at a country that is struggling and has been for a long time to deal with rising inflation. For the next 10 minutes or so, we're looking at what's happening in Zimbabwe because it has introduced a new currency to tackle the problem. It's called the ZiG or Zimbabwe Gold. So let's start by looking at how severe a problem inflation actually is. Here's our correspondent in Zimbabwe, Shingai Nyoki.
Inflation in March was 55%, which was 7-month high. And so that means that food prices were rising at a rate that many people couldn't afford to keep up with. Salaries were also struggling to keep up. And so, you know, Zimbabwe's had historically a lot of economic problems. You know, this isn't the worst that the country's had. 2008, you might remember the inflation that was over 1,000,000,000%, where prices were doubling every single day. And so that's what we've been seeing over the last couple of months, the erosion of public confidence in the local currency.
Notes and coins in Zimbabwe gold began circulating on Tuesday. We're going to hear in a few minutes about long queues to actually get your hands on that physical currency. It is linked to the country's gold reserves. Why? Here's the Zimbabwean economist Prosper Chidambara.
You know, Zimbabwe is one of the biggest producers of gold. What it then means is that any increase in local currency money supply has to be supported by an increase in the reserves of gold that we actually have within the vaults of the central bank. So that's obviously going to help in terms of limiting the amount of credit that the central bank can actually create directly. So I think on that basis, it's a sound idea. And if we are able to sustain that over time, I'm sure the inflation rate will begin to slow down. And once it declines, it means people will begin to have confidence in the Zimbabwe gold, in the local currency.
So now that the notes have been launched, will people start using the ZiG? Here's Shingai again.
The central bank has put aside this old Zimbabwe dollar, introducing this ZiG, but it wants to back this currency in gold in the hopes that this will build the public confidence in a local currency. The government has said in the past that it doesn't believe that a country can develop without its own currency, which is why it has tried this for the sixth time. But I think the public have already spoken. They prefer to transact in US dollars. Businesses, for planning purposes and for stability, prefer to price their goods and accept US dollars because a lot of the goods are imported. And so it just remains to be seen how the central bank will try to increase the demand for the local currency, demand which currently is not there.
Let's pick up on that point about whether the new currency can replace the US dollar, which is the common currency that is being used in Zimbabwe. To get more on that and the launch of the physical currency today, I've been speaking to Dr. Denford Mutashu, who's president of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailers.
Almost all the banks, the long and winding queues by the members of the public intending to withdraw the notes and coins, because remember when the ZiG was introduced on the 5th of April 2024 through the monetary policy statement which was issued thereof, the introduction was only restricted to electronic ZiG. Unfortunately, that almost compromised the members of the commuting public and also those that wished to buy smaller items, because they continued to go to supermarkets and receive coupons, sweets and chocolates as change. And that has since been resolved by the introduction of the coins and the notes, which are divisible.
There are many people, though, who say that it's going to be very hard to move Zimbabweans away from using the US dollar, which is what most people are using. And already we're seeing the ZiG beginning to decline in value against that.
Well, you may appreciate that once a country dollarizes, it may actually be very difficult to come out of that scenario. And even if you introduce your currency in the same basket with the US dollar, it may continue to face some stability challenges. And we know particular if you look at the countries that once dollarized. However, the ZIG component is coming through to actually cover the gap of around 20 to 30%. In any case, it isn't much ZIG that has been introduced into the economy. It's currently to the tune of about $80 million. But given the amount of transactions that are taking place within the economy, you may also agree with me that the consumers largely would wish to have the ZIG currency for the purposes of transacting, also of ensuring that they also get change in supermarkets, while the larger part of the economy, which in my view is above 70% informal, will also continue to trade and transact in the US dollar. And the nature of the transactions in the country has also been depicting the same ratio, where almost 70 to 80% of transactions have also been taking place in US dollars. And the economy sort of self-dollarized. So where we are now, the appetite for the US dollar will continue. But the majority of Zimbabweans have also embraced the ZIG because it is coming through to solve the basic challenges that they've been facing when transacting. For example, if one wished to buy a product for 60 cents, they wouldn't get the 40 cents change in USD. So that will be plugged by the introduction of the notes and coins.
What percentage would you put the trust value in the ZIG at the moment at in Zimbabwe? From people that we're speaking to, seems to be maybe 20, 30% that low.
I think the percentage is also reflective of the nature of transacting scenarios in the country, where, of course, more than 70% of transactions are also taking place in the US dollar. So the waiting period was quite longer between the police pronouncement on the 5th of April to the 30th of April, where the notes and coins were then introduced into the economy. In between, people continue to transact mainly in the US dollar, of course, embraced the ZIG electronically, but that wasn't enough because people were actually anticipating that on the day that the governor of the Reserve Bank introduced the ZIG, on the Monday, we needed to see people starting to collect the ZIG coins and notes from their banks. But the waiting period was quite longer than the people anticipated.
Yeah, but give me your figure. What percentage of trust is there, do you think, in the new currency? Give me a figure.
I think right now it's on 50-50. And it's I'm arriving at that figure based on the nature of transactions in the economy, where there is still a high level of transactions that are taking place in USD, especially in the informal economy, 20% formal.
If this currency doesn't work, and many currencies haven't worked in Zimbabwe, is it time to formally dollarize the economy?
I definitely think that if the ZIG doesn't work for whatever reasons, probably we may have to bite the bullet and dollarize the economy. Unfortunately, dollarization has come with pains to the Zimbabwean economy, especially if you look at the developments that have been taking place, infrastructure development, dams construction, road rehabilitation and construction. That has all largely been funded by a local currency, which gave the monetary authorities some sort of sovereignty and independence to be able to provide liquidity into the economy, a situation that cannot happen with a dollarized environment.
Fiona Sinkota, Senior Market Analyst with City Index, is with us throughout the program. Two main themes today, because we're going to hear these terms mentioned a lot. Let's talk about inflation. Zimbabwe, 55% there. A reminder that while some parts of the world are getting inflation under control, for many, it's still a huge problem, Fiona.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, inflation is something that we've seen really become a big part of the global economy over the past few years. And, you know, we're seeing central banks risen. They've raised interest rates as a way to try and get inflation back under control. And there are some nations and countries that are and economies which have managed to get inflation under control at a much faster rate. And there are some countries that inflation continues to be a real problem.
And in some countries, we have seen, haven't we, them decide to say, OK, the dollar is so strong, it's so stable that we might replace our currency with the dollar to try and tackle that problem, which shows you that the dollar is still the most important currency in the world.
Exactly. I mean, why a lot of countries might think about pegging to the US dollar is for that. It's for the stability. It's, you know, this is the reserve currency of the world. It's something that, you know, you would expect if you have a currency pegged against it, that it would allow for a much more stable flowing economy. So that would be sort of, you know, the advantages of going towards pegging against the US dollar. And you know, there are obviously disadvantages. I think there are many disadvantages as well. But I think if, you know, high levels of volatility in a currency is a problem, then that could be one of the avenues to go down.
Certainly something Zimbabweans are facing at the moment. Inflation, a quick reminder to you, is the rate at which prices are increasing. Now, we like to try and provide solutions on this programme. So we wanted to look at a country that's had some sort of success in tackling the high inflation problems that it had. So we're going to go to Ecuador now, a country that suffered from very high inflation in the 1990s. Its decision to dollarize, what Fiona was talking about before, helped tackle that problem. Marcela Velez is an Ecuadorian financial journalist. She remembers the year it happened, 1999.
One of the most chaotic years that I have experienced in my life in any country. It was a year of economic collapse in Ecuador. Ecuador began already the 90s with high inflation. In the case of Ecuador, it was around 40% a year. And it got worse. The governments in power opted to use the central bank to finance their spending instead of controlling the deficit. And by the end of the decade, the crisis was just complete. Half the population was living below the poverty line, and prices were changing from one day to the next. Okay, last week I spent 20 sucres at the supermarket. This week I will need another 20. Well, wrong. By Wednesday, those 20 sucres would be gone. So GDP per capita fell by a third that year. Every day there were rumors, you will receive those messages on your cell phone, and there will be rumors about a new bank going bankrupt or the freezing of bank deposits. And every day you will see queues of people crying, banging on the doors of the banks. By December, the situation was already unsustainable. Most banks had gone bankrupt. Inflation was 61% that year. The sucre had lost 153%, I checked, of its value. So in January 2000, the government announced the dollarization. The dollarization was set at 25,000 sucres to the dollar. And to give you an example, I was already working then. It was my first formal job as a copy editor in a newspaper in Guayaquil. And my salary was 250,000 sucres. When they hired me, a little more than a year before the dollarization, it was the equivalent of $62. And when they dollarized, my salary became just $10. Even though it was painful after seeing examples like Argentina and Venezuela in the region, and due to the distrust in the political class, most of the Ecuadorian population still defends the use of the dollar.
Fiona, we're talking about countries, and we're going to go to Argentina in a minute, and Zimbabwe, also Venezuela, countries with very high levels of inflation they've had for a long time. Once you get into that cycle, how easy is it to get out of it?
No, it's very, very challenging. I mean, because what happens is, and particularly if they're sort of countries that politically as well are slightly unstable, because what happens is as prices go up, you know, people need to be able to have wage increases in order to be able to afford to eat. You know, we're not even talking about sort of luxury here. So particularly those working, for example, for public bodies and government sort of positions, those wages need to go up in order for people to survive, to be able to feed, to be able to pay, you know, light, electricity. And then the cycle just continues to go. And so without really sort of a very hard stop or huge investment potentially from over abroad, it's very, very difficult to actually stop that sort of wage cycle inflation.
It certainly is. Let us go to Argentina now, which has had rampant inflation for many years. Javier Milei was elected as president in December, promising a different path. His Libertarian Party wanted to launch free market reforms and huge changes to the way that money flows in the country. Now Parliament has given its general approval to his sweeping austerity measures, which have triggered mass protests. Marcelo Elizondo is the chairman of the International Chamber of Commerce office in Argentina and an economist. He joins us from Buenos Aires. Thank you so much for joining us here on World Business Report. Can you just tell our listeners exactly what are the reforms that President Milei is trying to push through now?
Well, Milei is implementing different kinds of reforms. One of those autonomic reforms implemented by the presidency that is basically focused on getting reducing fiscal deficit. And this is the main instrument to reduce inflation. But now, currently, just today, Congress is discussing a big law, a big project with many reforms in different chapters that are basically focused on deregulation, reducing public expenditure, opening the economy, and privatizations.
We are talking about inflation on our program today. You, of course, are in touch with many businesses in Argentina. Firstly, how hard is it for them to operate in this environment? And do they have confidence that the president's measures are going to help tackle that problem?
Well, inflation was extremely high in November and December last year when Milei started his term. And since then, Milei implemented a huge reduction of public expenditure. He decided to cut the printing money policy that the central bank was implementing, and inflation is being reduced. Inflation rate was 25% monthly in December, 20% in January, and now is about 10%. And it's being reduced month by month. And it's because of the reducing of the printing money policy that the central bank was implementing for many years. Now, this policy is trying to be complemented by reducing cost for the economy. And it is basically what is being discussed in Congress now, just through deregulation and implementing some structural reforms to get a free market economy.
We have seen huge protests across the country as these reforms begin to go through and they're voting on the individual reforms. Do you expect those protests to grow?
Well, there are some sectors or institutions that are being affected because many of those policies, reduction of government expenditures, are affecting some institutions. Universities, for instance, that usually reduce money from government, and some other institutions, labor unions, for instance, that are being financed through some money that is being collected from salaries. And this is one of the reforms that Milei is trying to implement to reduce labor costs for the company. So, of course, there'll be some other protests, but if you consider the polls, more than 50% of the population is supporting Milei's policies, especially because of the problems we've had for many years.
Final question to you. We have been talking about the dollar on this program, dollarization. We heard from Ecuador, Zimbabwe, many people use a dollar. Many people use a dollar in Argentina. President Milei wanted to dollarize. Do you see that happening?
Well, not institutionally. What's happening in Argentina is that dollar is used as a local currency competing with the local peso. It's like a competition between money, between currencies. But the project of implementing a dollarization at the Ecuador way, well, I think it's not being implemented, not unless for this moment, not this year.
Marcelo, thank you so much for joining us here on the program. That's interesting, isn't it, Fiona? When you have competing currencies, might as well you dollarize anyway, because the dollar in Argentina and Zimbabwe is the general method of transaction often.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, you know, because I travel frequently to Argentina as well. And actually, you know, a lot of the prices do get converted when you're talking about costs as well. It's often sort of converted into what that would be as a dollar cost. And particularly previously when inflation was extremely high, you know, just because the prices change so frequently, if you just convert it into a US dollar, then you have more of an idea of what you're talking about. So there are advantages and disadvantages, as we say, to sort of pegging to the dollar. But I do think there are also times in an economy when to do it. And perhaps, as we heard, Argentina's not quite there yet.
It doesn't seem to be You are with World Business Report from the BBC World Service. Let's go from Argentina to Japan and the continuing weakness of the Japanese currency, the yen. It looks like the Bank of Japan intervened earlier this week to try and protect the yen. Let's get the thoughts of our regular financial commentator on the country, Sahiro Takeshita from the University of Shizuoka.
I think the acceleration that we found on the 29th of the dollar, that is, was very acute. It was beyond, I think, what the authorities were thinking about. And obviously, with the amount, the level of this, you know, acceleration that's taken place, definitely gave a lot of warning sign to the authorities.
For our listeners, can you explain why the yen is at the moment so weak against the dollar?
Well, from the fundamental point of view, it's the interest rate deviations. The Japanese real interest rate isn't high. And also, Bank of Japan really does not have the maneuverability of Federal Reserve central banks to raise their rate, partly because of the position that Bank of Japan is in, and also because our economy isn't as brisk as the one that you see in the United States.
They look like they had to intervene in quite a big way. We're talking about trillions of yen being spent to try and support the Japanese yen. Are they going to continue to have to do this?
Well, you know, I think what they're trying to do is put a barge, a sign at 1/6, which is what people call a psychological line. But in my opinion, you know, so-called psychological line is trying to put up kayak and trying to, you know, swim across the tsunami, which I don't think is going to work. You know, the market forces are going to be far greater of a power than one single central bank like Bank of Japan. You know that.
And just in terms of day-to-day life, with the yen now being weaker than it was, what does that mean for people in Japan on a daily basis?
The weakening yen exacerbates already high imported price because commodity prices are going up around the world. So if we see, for example, further tension on geopolitical issues like in Middle East or, you know, the Ukrainian situation, then we will see a double whamming on our imported prices, and that will directly hurt our lives. And, you know, for the first time in 20 years, the Japanese will be enjoying, or supposed to be enjoying, increase in their wages. But that's going to be easily washed away if we see a continuation of this vast weakening of the yen accommodated by commodity price rise.
That is likely to happen if the US, as seems likely, actually has interest rates higher for longer. That's not going to be good for the Japanese yen, is it?
No, I think one of the reasons why the yen has continued to weaken, I think more and more participants are starting to understand that, you know, where the yen goes is not really dependent on Bank of Japan, but much more on the Fed.
Sahiro Takeshita there. Let's end with this story. Let's stop talking about inflation and the dollar for a bit. If young women want to be successful in a career in tech, there must be resilience. So says the CEO of the dating app Bundle. Lydiane Jones started from humble upbringings in Sao Paulo in Brazil. She's been speaking to our tech correspondent, Shona McCullum, and she told her how her career began.
I started in a very humble neighborhood of Sao Paulo, the largest city in Brazil. Through a community program in my neighborhood, I was exposed to programming, and I fell in love with how logic worked and how software development felt like magic.
And what would your message be to young women and girls listening to this, thinking they would love a career in tech?
You know, when people look at my career, they'll say things like, it's impressive, but it's not necessarily an easy or linear journey. I've had to really be resourceful, really look for opportunities that maybe weren't obviously there. My biggest advice is use this resilience that we have to build, you know, especially as women, because opportunities are harder. It's still not an equitable journey for women today. I definitely have been in many situations in recent years where I was the only woman in the room, but I'm really using this as a platform to ensure that I'm not the only woman in the room as we move forward. To your point, there is so much work for us to do to increase representation of women in senior leadership roles. I'm so optimistic that we are increasing opportunities because women today are supporting each other a whole lot more than years ago.
And how much of a priority is safety for you on the app?
huge. You know, a big part of why I came here is because I want women and I want all of our users to have a healthy and equitable set of relationships in their lives. And that has to start with safety. So, you know, a big part of what we have developed over the last year has been safety capabilities. We launched in December a capability called Deception Detector that really looks at fake accounts or scams and removes them before they even get exposed to any users.
Bumble has struggled with the share price falling quite significantly. I just wonder, you know, what are your plans to change the fortunes?
The pace of innovation and response to customers' requirements is a huge part of what we're doing differently this year. We started really full force on deeply collecting and addressing customers' requests, and this release is a representation of that. We want to be rapidly responding and innovating, and I think that's going to help our business tremendously because we know our customers love our brand, and that's one of the things that really differentiates us in the market is that we stand for something that matters for our customers.
There we go. The new CEO of Bumble, Lydia and Jan, speaking to Shona McCullum. Fiona, 30 seconds for you. We still don't see enough women leading these big tech companies. We have Linda Yaccarino at X. Not many more at that very, very high level.
No, not at all. And I mean, this is definitely work in progress. You know, I think it's something that we know that there is a problem that exists with the number of females in high positions in big companies. And even in sort of middle management, you can still see a shortage of women. So I think it's definitely an area that we can still focus on.
Thank you, Fiona, for all your help on our program today, guiding us through a close look at inflation and dollarization. Ed Butler will be here with Business Matters and later programs. But that's it from World Business Report.